Good morning. Welcome to our service of worship today, Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. We are indeed so glad to be with you today. A special hello to you if you're visiting with us. It is a joy to see some dear friends from North Hills Community Baptist Church again with us. And we come into this place, to this sanctuary, and it is a sacred space. But in truth, we just came from our cars, which are sacred spaces. We came from our homes, which are sacred spaces. All around us, we indeed live in a Christ-soaked world. And now in this space, in this time, we prepare to be together in a special, particular way. And it is wonderful to praise God with you. Just a couple of announcements. We hope that you will have time to stay with us for our church picnic. It's all set up. There were some beautiful elves arranging everything in our fellowship hall just across the way after church today. Some great food and conversation. We want to announce that we had previously scheduled a book study to begin in September. I thought that no one was going to show up and that it would be canceled due to complete lack of interest. However, there is interest, and the first meeting of that and the book is called How the Bible Actually Works. That will be September 10th. It's a Wednesday at 12:30. If you're interested in taking part in that, please see me after church or get in touch with me anytime for that. We also, our new newsletter will be out at the end of the week, and we'll have some prayer concerns, some updates that we'll get to later in the service today. Are there any other general announcements just before we begin today? I'm so glad that we'll have the Reverend Dr. Clifton, our pastor in residence, preaching today. I was a little bit long-winded at Mount Nebo this morning, and that's why, so you'll all be very glad that I am not filling the pulpit today. But now let us take a deep breath. Breathe in that Spirit of God and let us come before God with our call to worship. You can follow along in the bulletin or up on our screen. Let us worship the Holy One, our refuge, hope, and trust. Our praise is continually of our God.
God will not put us to shame. God is our rock.
Turn to the God who saves and delivers. Our praise is continually of our God.
God's righteousness redeems. God is our shelter.
Find rest and delight in the Holy One. Our praise is continually of our God.
May we lean upon the Holy One. God is our sure foundation.
And I invite you to rise in body or spirit as we sing our opening hymn, The Eyes of My Heart.
I want to see.
Let us pray. Holy God, we confess that we have trampled the Sabbath. We claim your name and not your way. We cling to excuses to avoid discomfort or sacrifice in service of our neighbor. We turn from human suffering. We keep silent in the face of wickedness. Transform us, O God, that we might be saved from the vice of evil and the lure of inaction. Rebuild us with righteousness and hope, and redeem us for your kingdom. Amen. Beloved, in Isaiah 58:9, the voice assures, "Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and the Lord will say, 'Here I am.'" God's abiding presence never leaves us. God's transforming love will empower you to live the just and righteous life. Receive grace for participation and belonging in the kingdom. God's mercies are renewed for us. We are forgiven. Amen. Say together what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let us offer to one another some sign of Christ's peace. Peace be with you. Much love. Much love. Please be seated. I wanted to share that Patty came through her surgery well on Friday. And she is still in need of our prayers. She is feeling much exhaustion and still will be recovering at home for some time. But please keep her in your thoughts as and concerns and prayers as she continues to heal at home. And simply that she might be reassured that we are thinking of her and that she is quite strong. It is great to see Barb back here with us today.
Yeah.
Anyone else or anything else? I want also to thank Kimberly for taking over the music so wonderfully while Mickey is apart from us this week. And I see Roy didn't make it today, but we are thinking of him, and his hip is doing well and recovering on the way. Yes. Let us come before God once again in prayer. Loving Creator, too often we divide the world into the holy and the ordinary, or worse, the sacred and the profane, the things of the earth and the things of heaven. But Lord, what are the things of heaven? The dogs who are our best friends for more than a decade, the grandchildren who serve on the football team or the cheer team, who start middle or high school or college, the church picnics, the graduation parties, the first day of college, friends old and new laughing. Surely these are the things of heaven also. We thank you, God, for helping us to remember that all of life is sacred. We come to you this day grateful for healing, even now for Patty, for Roy, for those who are in need of your sacred touch, for those who have wounds that they are yet too afraid to even tend to, yet we know that you are caring for them all. We thank you for healing that is taking place in our world, even in the midst of the pain and destruction that continues. And oh, how it does continue. God, we weep as we know you do as well. With each mother and father, with each uncle and auntie who cries out, "How long, O Lord? How long will those in power allow their hearts to turn cold? How long will those who can bring about change allow themselves to be ruled by pride and greed instead of your call for a just world? How long, O Lord, will leaders insist on pushing the least of these to the side? How long, O Lord, will those who are in positions to stand up to tyranny remain silent? And yet, your children continue to work. Your children, we continue to love, we continue to pray, we continue to hope, we continue to hold fast to the truths that you taught us. We continue to actively look for the good in one another. We continue to work for the common good of all. And so we do have hope, and we do sing on, and we do work on, and we continue to be your hands and your feet in this world. We love on, moving together, compelled by your spirit, your people, until we all move hand in hand. The beloved community, your kingdom come. Here on earth as it is in heaven, as you taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen." And please rise in body or spirit and sing our hymn of meditation, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus."
Thank you.
please be seated. May our ushers come forward to receive this morning's offering.
Before I read scripture and begin the sermon for this morning, let me just say a word about those of us who are gathered here today. Henry McComb, who's sitting in the back, leaves for college Saturday. He'll go back to school up in upstate New York. He's a chemistry major. And before you get away, would you tell him how grateful you are that we have seen him this summer and how we wish him well and all God's good graces as he goes back to school. A somewhat regular attender is Karen Maxer, who's over here on your left. And she's been away from us because of knee surgery, and now she's ready to play pickleball already, and tennis and golf and all that good stuff. She's making good recovery, and Karen, we hope that recovery continues well. Let Karen know of your prayers. And for those Baptists who are here this morning, North Hills Community Baptist Church folks that I got to know when I was there for a year, and we're so glad that you've come to say hello and to be with us today. And to underline what our pastor just said a few minutes ago, there is food for everyone. And if you didn't bring anything, that's even better, because you get a free meal. And there's plenty of food. We'll share it together. Don't go to Wendy's. Come here. It's Fellowship Hall, just right next door. And we'd love to have all of our guests who are able to remain with us for food to following the service. And so our reading today, our readings, two of them, are quite a contrast. From the book of Leviticus, we are given the qualifications for someone to be a priest, to offer the sacrifices to God in the temple. And it's a pretty high standard. And then the New Testament reading, it's the lectionary reading for this Sunday, is about a woman who was anything but perfect. For 18 years, she was unable to stand up straight. So the contrast, listen for the contrast between the two. And so from the Torah, the book of Leviticus, these words. The Lord told Moses to say to Aaron, "No descendant of yours can ever serve as my priest if he is blind or lame, if his face is disfigured, if one leg is shorter than the other, if either a foot or a hand is paralyzed, if he is a hunchback or a dwarf, if an eye or his skin is diseased, or if his testicles have been damaged, these men may not serve as my priests and burn sacrifices to me. They may eat the food offerings presented to me, but they may not enter the sacred place or serve me at the altar. Remember, I am the Lord, the one who makes a priest holy." Moses told all of this to Aaron, his sons, and the people of Israel. And now a story about the bent woman who is anything but perfect.
Luke 13, 10 to 17. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not the Sabbath." The Lord answered them, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on a Sabbath day for what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing.
I read this week, someone was saying to preachers, when you get up to preach, don't read from the cookbook. Serve the meal. May the living bread, Jesus Christ, be our gift of nourishment and life this day. Let us pray. Oh God, we come here to find our life once again, to remember who we are, and once again to be transformed in the likeness of Jesus Christ, who calls us to faith this and every day. Amen. Well, I remember first grade, a couple of us boys sitting there, and behind us was this girl. And every once in a while we would turn and say to her that there was no Santa Claus. And we would keep saying it and keep saying it until she wet her pants and we watched the water drop from her chair onto the floor. Children can be so cruel. You're probably thinking right now, man, you should get down on your knees and ask God to forgive you for that. Don't worry. Many times. I can just imagine the cruelty, perhaps, of the children in that unnamed town that we heard about in our story today of the bent woman, as she made her way to get water in the evening, carrying a jug. The bent over woman. I imagine she was bent way over. Just imagine the children making fun of her. Look at me, I'm a bent woman. Look at me, all I can see is bugs. Look at me, I can't see anybody's face. Bent woman, bent woman. Children can be very cruel. But it's hard to outgrow cruelty. I can imagine that the adults of the village were also cruel, but probably a little more sophisticated with their cruelty. Instead of saying something to her that she could hear, they would just simply ignore her, make her invisible. So when they came into her presence, rather than to say something to her, they would look somewhere else. Oh, look at the bird over there. Look at the flowers. Look, anything but to look at her. She made people feel uncomfortable. I learned a new word recently, just a few weeks ago, and the word is othering. I don't know if you've ever heard that word before. I had never heard that word, but I learned it just a few days ago. Othering is the psychological process by which we deem other people different than what we are. That whatever condition they have, whether it's nationality, whether it was bodily disease, whatever it is, the othering is that process in which we distance and exclude and separate. They are different than us, than me. And so this bent woman was on the receiving end of a lot of cruelty and a lot of othering. And yet, on the appropriate day, on the day of worship, when people gathered out of their homes and the village and went into their place of worship on this specified day, the Sabbath day, she was there. Of course she was there. She knew that her only hope was in the strength and grace of God. Of course she was there. And maybe she heard the Torah read at some occasion when the reader would get up and read from this book of Leviticus about who is able to be God's priest, high servant. First of all, it has to be a man, check. It can't be anyone, according to Leviticus. Can't be anyone whose one leg is shorter than the other. It can't be anyone who has an eye problem. It can't be anyone who is a dwarf. It can't be anyone who is not fully complete. The incomplete person. Not acceptable. But she heard not only those words from the Torah, there were some other words too. There were these words in Leviticus about don't hold a grudge and don't ever take revenge. There were these words about love your neighbor as yourself. There were these words about treat the alien and the native born the same. The same. And she had to decide what her story was going to be, what her primary text was going to be. She had to decide whether she would claim these words that open love and let it pour into the world and through us into other people, or these words that excluded some, both texts. And she had to figure out which one will be my story. Of course, she was in worship on the Sabbath day. And don't you know that in this unnamed town, there appeared in the Sabbath day a man named Jesus of Nazareth, who was the teacher, the reader, the proclaimer that day. And when she came into the synagogue, Jesus saw her. His eyes focused on the bent woman who for 18 long years had not been able to stand, who had been an invisible person in the village and the recipient of cruelty of all manner of speaking. Jesus saw her. Which would lead me to say that it's a very good thing if we see the people that Jesus is looking at. Jesus stops the teaching when he saw, when he took into his vision and let fall into his heart this unnamed, bent woman. And he stopped talking and he pointed to her. And the people began to say, he's calling you forward. He's pointing to you. He's telling you he wants you to come. And they make a way. And now the people that didn't want to look at her are all looking at her. They're watching her every step as she makes her way to where she was and makes her way to where Jesus was. Now, a very interesting thing happens here. If you listen carefully to the text, you'll see that he's going to cure her. Yes, he will do that. But before he does that, before he touches her, and a man doesn't touch a woman who's not a member of his family. You don't do that. But he's going to touch her, and therefore he's going to say to her, "You belong to my family." But that's not yet. He's going to say something first. And what he says to her first is this. CEV translation makes it most plain. It says, "You are now well." No, she's not. She's bent over. She can't stand. For 18 years, she's been looking at the ground. For 18 years, whenever she wept, nobody saw it because she had no face. Her face was to the ground. She was the bent woman. She was not whole. And Jesus says to her, "You are now and always well." Why, of course she was. She's going to be called a name. We're going to learn her name a little bit in a moment or two. And her name is going to be Daughter of Abraham. That's going to be her name. Child of God. For you see, when she was born, the image of God was stamped onto her soul. She is God's blessing and gift. And God's very image is upon her life, her soul, her mind, her heart. She is whole. She is well. She is acceptable before Jesus ever cures her. One out of every four or five of us is disabled. I'm disabled. I've got a bumper sticker on my car. Go out and look at my car. You'll see what it says. It says, "Disabled driver, please be patient." You would be surprised how many people happened to me yesterday. How many people come roaring up right behind me and they say, "Oh my goodness, he's disabled." And they begin to fall back. Give me a little bit of space. I'm disabled. They took a tumor out of my head 12 years ago, and I lost all of my hearing, and I lost half of my balance, and I can't drive a car. I can't drive a car more than 40 miles an hour. I can't do it. I don't have the balance, the ability to do that. I am one of the four or five disabled people in the land. Of course, those who are not disabled or broken some other way, we're all broken. Just can't see it all the time. I'm a child of Abraham. Before I had the tumor taken out of my head, I was well. I was God's. I had the image of God before the tumor, and now I bounce in. I fall over. I can't walk. I almost undid the communion table one Sunday. I bounce in. Have to catch myself. I'm a disabled man. But I was a child of God the day I was born. And I carry the image of God. And so do you. And all of our disability and all of our brokenness and in all of the pieces that are jagged and rough. So Jesus says to the woman, before he cures her, you are well. You are whole. You bear the blessed, beautiful, lovely, wonderful, eternal image of God in your soul, and nobody can take it away. And nothing that ever happens to you will ever make you less than a full child, daughter of Abraham. And then he touches. And all of the power of love and grace in the universe flows through the hand of Jesus. And for the first time in 18 years, she is cured. She was whole. And now she's also cured. And all of the people of the town, what do they do? What do they do? When she stands for the first time in 18 years, they begin with her, praising God. Praising God for God's wonder and God's power and love and God's healing. They begin to praise God. Except there were a few who grumbled. What's he doing healing people on the Lord's Day? They didn't have their story straight. The bent woman had her story straight. You've come here today, all of you. You're here today to get your story straight, to make sure that not the words of exclusion and rejection become your story. The story of othering, in which people are not like you and not worthy as you are, not as good as you are. Get your story straight that all people, every person, there's no one person who is a burden. There are no burdens in God's kingdom. Just blessings. People who bear the image. A burden is something that holds us down. A burden that messes up the GMP. A burden is somebody who costs us money. A burden is someone we want to put away and lock the door and never see. There are no burdens. Get your story straight. In God's kingdom, there are no burdens. Only those who bear the beautiful, lovely, eternal image of God, stamped eternally on every soul. So I want you to turn to a neighbor or look at somebody right now, and I want you to say, I'm a child of Abraham, and so are you. And I want that person that you talk to say back to you, would you do this? I'm a child of Abraham, and so are you. Would you do that right now? Just do that to someone right now. And now I want you to take that word everywhere you go and to every person you meet. I'm a child of Abraham, and so are you. Amen. Our closing hymn, We Stand of Abel. And we sing together, we join voices. It's on the screen. We proclaim great things among us. Let us stand, if able.
Pastor Tom and I both served the same Baptist church, and Pastor Tim was the pastor there, and I served alongside him. And when we'd have meals after church, he would have the benediction served also as the blessing for the meal. So I'll do that as well. Pastor Tom, you are a child of Abraham. Just want you to know that too. Thank you for your message. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the hands that prepared the meal we're about to share. And we pray that it would be used to nurture our bodies to strengthen you and your work in the kingdom. And now may the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and all those whom you love and all those whom no one loves this day and this night and throughout all eternity. Amen.